Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levillier, for an hour of sitcoms. Coming up, Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. And the program, My Favorite Husband, right now it's The Billy Burke Show. And a free-for-all playground, that's the name of the episode, from June 3rd, 1946 on CBS.
Acting, brand-tasting dentifrice with the fresh minty tang presents The Billy Burke Show. Friends, why don't you enter the Listerine toothpaste contest and win gorgeous nylons of note by Holproof? And here she is, that smiling, bright morning star, our misleading lady, Miss Billy Burke. Now let's look in at the little white house on Sunnyview Drive. Brother Julius is working in his shop behind the garage when Miss Burke appears in the doorway.
Hello, Julius.
Huh? Oh, hello, Billy.
Julius.
What do you want?
It's a lovely day.
Yes, I know that.
Julius.
What?
You know, you seem to get younger every day.
Thank you. Now, please go.
And you're so intelligent, you're almost human.
That's fine. Now, will you...
Wait, Julius.
Billy Burke, what's going on? What do you want?
Well, I want to talk to you. Don't be so impatient. After all, I'm your own flesh and bones. Goodness.
All right. What is it? What do you want to talk about?
It's something important. I'm crooking up an idea.
You're crooking up an idea?
Yes.
It's a great start.
Julius, I need $500.
Five? What for?
Well, the children in the neighborhood need a playground so they won't be out in the street. You know, a place with swings and shoot the shooties and merry-go-rounds and a nice big place to play.
Well, you can't build one of those things for $500.
Oh, yes, I can. Mr. Judson, he will let us use his vacant lot, and for $500, I can get all the things for it. Everything is all arranged and ready. I've taken care of all the details, and all I need is just that little teeny-weeny $500.
There's nothing teeny-weeny about $500. That's a lot of money.
Oh, but think what it will mean to the children. They'll be safe and they'll have so much fun.
I know, Billy, and it's a good idea. But I don't have the $500 to spare. Why don't you go and talk to Colonel Fitz across the street? He's in the dough.
In the dough, all over, with his feet?
In the money. Go on over, put the bite on him.
I don't understand. Put the bite on him. Heavens, he'd never give it to me if I bit him.
No. Talk to him. Ask him.
Oh, all right. Well, why didn't you say that in the first place? Sometimes your grammar is Confucius, my goodness. And for $500, Colonel Fitz, we can build a lovely playground with swings and slides and just everything. Don't you think it's a good idea?
Well, I'm afraid I'm too old for that sort of thing, Miss Burke.
I don't expect you to go down the slides, Colonel Fitz. This is for the children of the neighborhood.
Oh, for the little tots.
Yes. Ah,
a fine idea, Miss Burke, except I don't have any children.
Oh, well, let's not split hairpins. Your children, somebody else's children. What's the difference? The little darlings need a place to play, to ventilate their energy.
Well, $500 is a lot of money.
Well,
I tell you what I'll do. You go talk to that old skinflint Guthrie. If he'll put up half, I'll put up the other half.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Colonel Fitz. Well, let's see. Half of $500 is, $250. I figured that out in my head.
I'll get my checkbook.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, things are coming back to normal. The factories are making everything, it seems.
Really?
Yes, Julia says you can even get rubber checks. Of course, it's probably anesthetic rubber, you know.
Undoubtedly. You know, come to think of it, Miss Burke, I'll just keep this check until Guthrie puts up his half.
But Colonel Fitz...
When Guthrie puts up his 250, I'll put up mine.
Oh.
I couldn't trust that tightwad as far as I could throw a Greyhound bus.
You wouldn't? Oh, I would.
I'll still keep my check right here until I see Guthrie's money.
All right, Colonel Fitz, but I thought you trusted everybody.
Whatever made you think that?
Because Julius always says you're a regular confidence man. Hello, Mr. Guthrie.
Well, how do you do, Miss Berg? To what happy whim of fate do I owe the incomparable pleasure of this unexpected visit?
Oh, my, Mr. Guthrie. Such a gallant welcome. You sound like that poet, Oscar the Wild.
Well, I do have an eye for a lovely lady. What can I do for you, Miss Burke?
You see, I'm raising some money for a children's playground, and...
Excuse me.
Oh, certainly.
Hello? Oh, hello, sweetie lamb. What? Well, I don't know. Billy Burke's in the office. I'll ask her. Miss Burke, is toothpaste a hyphenated word?
Hyphenated?
Yes, is there a hyphen in toothpaste?
Oh, well, I don't know. I never found one in mine.
Hello, sugar doll. No, dear, no hyphen. Goodbye, love. Poor Alice. She can't spell.
Oh, isn't it a shame? Alice had to leave college in her last year.
Now, about this money.
Yes, you see, I want to build a playground for...
Excuse me.
Goodness.
Hello? Yes, petty pie.
Heaven.
How do you spell nylon? Well, just a moment, darling. Poor Alice, she simply can't spell. How do you spell nylon, Miss Burke? Is it N-I-E or N-E-I?
Nylon, let me see. Why?
Oh, naturally. It's Y, dear. N-Y-L-O-N. Goodbye, sweet. I suppose you know what Alice is doing, Miss Burke.
Oh, yes. Well, think of it, Mr. Guthrie. 12 pairs of nylons. That's almost a dozen.
Yes. What were we talking about?
The playground. All I need is $250. But...
Excuse me, Miss Burke.
Oh, yes.
Hello? Yes, Diddy Doll. Is there a Y in Listerine, too? Honey Bunch, look on the box. The box. B-O-C-K-S. Goodbye, dear.
Gracious. Alice seems to be having trouble.
Well, she doesn't have trouble saying why she likes Listerine toothpaste in 25 words, if she could only spell them. Now, what do you want the money for, Miss Berg?
A playground. P-L-A-Y-G-O. Well, good heavens, now I'm doing it.
Well, $250 is quite a lot of money.
Oh, but it's for a good cause, Mr. Guthrie. Think of it, a whole playground with slides and teeter-totterers for all the children in the neighborhood.
Not a bad idea. We could charge admission.
Admission?
Why not? 10 cents a head.
Oh, well, that wouldn't work. The children would want to get more than their heads in. You mean charge them to use the slides and things?
It might be quite a paying proposition.
Oh, no, Mr. Guthrie. The playground is to be free. In fact, I'm going to call it the Free for All.
Who's putting up the other 250?
Your old friend, Colonel Fitz. You know Fitzy?
That old windbag? Mm-hmm. All right, if Fitz will put up 250, I'll put up 250.
But he says he'll put his 250 up if you put up yours.
Aha. He's trying to pull a fast one, huh? Not 1 cent do I put in until I see his money.
Oh, but who's going to put up the money first so that the other one can see it?
Not me. You show me his check and you can have mine.
Well, I'll ask him, but I know what he's going to say.
No, no.
But somebody has to put up the money first. Oh, Colonel Fitz.
It won't be me. I know that, Guthrie. Probably trying to pull one of his slick deals. Well, he won't catch me.
He's not trying to catch anybody. He just wants to see your check.
All right, I want to see his. Guthrie is a crook. As far as I'm concerned, we can simply forget about the whole thing.
But we must have the playground. We can't forget about
then
it.
Then show me Guthrie's money.
Oh, why do you men have to be so bully-headed?
Well, now, what are you going to do?
I'm going home and think. And when I start thinking, something's going to happen. Thank you. I'm home, Daisy.
You don't sound too bright. Something wrong?
Oh, I'm mad at men.
At men? That takes in a lot of people.
Well, I'm mad at two men in particular, that Mr. Guthrie and that Colonel Fitz. I'll show them. I'll think of something.
While you was gone, a couple of little boys came to the door and they wanted to know how the playground was going.
Oh, poor darlings. Well, I'm going to build that playground, Daisy, if I have to resort to despicable measures. If Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz are going to be stubborn, they'll wish they hadn't. I'll show them two can play as cheaply as one.
Well, Billy, how'd you come out?
Oh, not so good. As sailors say, I ran into a snood.
A snood? You mean a snag.
Oh, snag, snood, oh, it's all the same. Mr. Guthrie won't put up his money until the Colonel puts up his, and Colonel Fitz won't give me his check until he sees Mr. Guthrie's money. It's so ridiculous, just a tempest in a tea room.
You shouldn't have told Guthrie that Fitz was in on it.
Well,
they're having one of their annual feuds.
Oh, fiddlesticks on their old feuds. I'll get them together somehow.
You want to be careful, Billy. You get those two in the same room and there'll be a fight.
Fight?
Billy Burke, what are you thinking about?
I have an inspiration.
Now, look, none of your willy-nilly ideas.
Oh, you wait, Julius. This is a willy-nilly dilly.
Well, Miss Burke's plan to build a playground for the neighborhood youngsters has run into financial problems. Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz were going to advance $250 apiece, but each has insisted the other put up his money first. However, Miss Burke seems to think she's found a solution.
Billy Burke, where are you going?
I'm off to see the lizard. Two lizards, in fact.
Lizard? Now, wait a minute.
I'm going to see Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz simply because they're having a feud isn't going to keep the children from having a playground. I'm going to outsmart them.
What are you
going to
do?
I'm going to show them that I'm not the babe in the woodpile that they think.
Now, just a minute, Billy. Think. Remember what always happens when you get these wild ideas.
But there's nothing wild about this idea. I'm simply going to fight fire with fire water.
Tell me what you're up to. Come on.
I'm going to get the $500 for that playground.
How?
Well, you just bridle your time. Everything comes to him who's the waiter.
I know Guthrie and Colonel Fitz, and I'll just bet you that you don't get the money.
Oh, well, you wait and see. Remember the old Greek proverb, Julius, my time is your time. Mr. Guthrie, I'm back again.
Well, did that old baboon put up his money?
Baboon? Oh, Colonel Fitz. No, he didn't. You know, Mr. Guthrie, when I told him what you said, he simply flew into a tizzy.
A what?
A tizzy. That's something like a transom.
Oh, he did, huh? The conniving old coot.
I'm surprised at Colonel Fitz, Mr. Guthrie. Goodness, he said some dreadful things about you.
About me?
Mm.
What did he say?
Oh, I couldn't repeat them. Makes me shudder. To think he'd say such thing behind your face.
Well, what did he say? Tell me.
No, I couldn't.
Well, very well, then. Let it go.
Don't you want to hear it?
Oh, indeed I do.
Well, don't breathe this to a simple soul, but Colonel Fitz said he wouldn't trust you as far as he could throw a bus.
What?
Yes, and furthermore, he thinks you're a skinny flint.
He calls me a skin flint?
Now, don't do anything rational, Mr. Guthrie. Remember, Colonel Fitz is a great big man.
I'm not afraid of him. Why, I'll mutilate that two-faced old crook.
Oh, you don't mean that really, Mr. Guthrie.
I do mean it. I'll hammer that beanpole down to a fire plug.
No, you're just joking. You'll forget all about it.
Forget about it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'll be out at Fitz's house in 15 minutes, and we'll see then who's joking.
Goodness, you frighten me, Mr. Guthrie. Oh, I think I'll run along. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, dear, 15 minutes. Well, I'll have to hustle, bustle, rustle. Goodness.
Well, Miss Burke, what did old Guthrie say?
Oh, Colonel Fitz, I can't tell you. It was too dreadful.
Wouldn't put up his money, eh? I thought as much.
Well, it wasn't that. It was the perfectly awful things he said about you.
About me?
I don't think he's your friend.
What did he say?
He intimated that you were dishonest.
Intimated?
Yes, he said you were a crook with two faces.
Why, that old weasel.
He's coming out here to hammer you into a fire plug.
A fire plug?
I thought you should know.
Well, let him come. I'll show him.
There he is at the door. I'll go out the back way, Colonel Fitz.
No need to fear. I'll handle him in short notice.
Don't fight in the house, Colonel.
Hello, Fitz, you scoundrel.
I've been waiting for you, Guthrie. Put up your fists. I'm going to punch you right in the nose.
Oh, you think so, huh? Come out in the yard, Fitz.
Put up your fists. I'm coming at you, Guthrie.
Boys, stop.
Oh, who's that?
Heavens, Mr. Guthrie, and you, Colonel Fitz, fighting out in the front yard like common raggedy muffins? Oh, shame on you.
Stand aside, Miss Burke.
Don't try to protect him, Miss Burke. I'm going to...
No, you're not. Now, you both listen to me. If you're going to fight, you must fight like gentlemen and scholars. Haven't you heard of the Marquess and Queensberry?
Just let me at him. Just let me at
him. Now, hush. I know you boys can make a real nice fight and settle your drudge and everything. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. Daisy? Oh, Daisy! Oh, hurry, Daisy. I have wonderful news.
What's doing? What happened?
Oh, everything's turned out splendidly, Daisy. We have to hurry and put some mattresses out in the backyard.
Mattresses in the backyard? What for?
For the wrestling match. Groaning Guthrie versus Furious Fitz.
You mean them two men go wrestle against each other in the backyard?
Absolutely. Isn't it wonderful? With the flowers growing all around, it'll be just like Madison Square Garden.
Oh, you kidding, Miss Billy?
Kidding? Heavens, no. We're going to have a real middleweight wrestling match. I'm sure that's what it will be. They both have all their weight around the middle.
Well, I'm all out the mattresses, but I still don't get it.
Well, there's nothing to get, Daisy, except the mattresses. Oh, it's simplicity myself. Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz were mad at each other, and one wouldn't put up money for the playground until the other did, so I sort of, brought them together, you know. Now they're going to settle their feud with a wrestling match. The loser puts up the $500 for the playground.
That's what's going to happen? No fooling?
No fooling. I thought it up all by myself.
What's all this about a wrestling match?
Oh, Julius, I have the money for the playground.
Where is it?
Well, I mean, I have it digitally speaking.
Oh.
Mr. Guthrie is going to wrestle Colonel Fitz in the backyard. The one who gets pinned to the mattress pays for the playground.
No!
Yes, it's all arranged. The bout starts at 7 o'clock this evening. Isn't that nice? Let's call it groaning in the morning, in the gloaming. Groaning in the gloaming. Now, let me get it right.
This beats anything I ever heard of. How did you cook it up?
I didn't cook anything. I simply told Mr. Guthrie what Colonel Fitz said and told Colonel Fitz what Mr. Guthrie said. And first thing you know, they were doing what comes naturally.
Fitz and Guthrie wrestling. You know, Billy, sometimes I think you're a genius.
Really?
Yeah, other times I think other things.
What?
Who's going to referee?
Oh, I am. You're going to be the umpire and clock watcher, and Daisy is going to be the press.
That's where I'm going to be, Miss
Burke. Mm-hmm, the press. You're going to be the reporter and photographer. I bought some films for the brownie so you can take pictures. This is going to be a big wrestling match. We have to have all the trimmings.
Leaping lizards? We ought to sell tickets. Why, we could get $1,000 gate.
Well, there's no use in paying that much for a gate. No. Besides, it must be absolutely private. No audience participation. Now, you and Daisy get the mattresses down from upstairs. I have to phone the playground equipment company and tell them to deliver our slides and swings and things.
Wait a minute. You better wait until you get the money. What if something goes wrong?
What could go wrong, Julius?
Well, what if they change their minds and don't wrestle?
They won't. They're mad at each other. Ooh, they're going to fight like two tummy pussies.
Come on, Billy. Come on. Fitz and Guthrie are ready.
Gracious, I'm all in a fluster. How do you referee? career wrestling match, Julius?
Oh, don't ask me. It's your idea. Come on, come on.
All right. Good evening, Colonel Fitz. Mr. Guthrie.
Let's get on with the match. I'm raring to go.
I'm going
to
take you apart,
Guthrie. Oh, now, boys. Be nice. I'm the referee, and when I say don't do something, you don't do it. Is that clear?
Yes, yes.
Now, no fair biting or scratching, remember that. Just use good, clean strangle holds. And remember, the one who loses has to pay the $500 for the playground. Is that clear?
Yes, we understand.
Let's wrestle. Let's go.
All right. In this corner, in the beige trunks, we have the muscular monster, Emil Guthrie.
Thank you.
And in this corner, in the chartreuse trunks, we have that swordfish fighter, Colonel Fitz.
All right,
ring the bell.
Come on, go after him, Guthrie.
Now I'm going to get you, Fitz. Your goose is cooked.
Just let me get my hands on you,
Guthrie. Now, be nice, boys. Goodness, don't keep walking around each other. You're making me dizzy. Gracious, somebody wrestle somebody.
Well, I just wait till I get hold of it.
Give him the old hat. Ow!
Colonel Fitz, you stop. You're hurting him.
Leave him alone, Billy. Crawl out of it, Guthrie. Come on, give him a toe hold.
Julius, stop telling them those things to do.
Ow!
Mr. Guthrie, are you biting him?
I got him now. Oh,
watch him, Billy. Guthrie's down.
I can't tell who's down. They're all mixed up.
Well, somebody's down.
It's not me.
My shoulders aren't down.
Well, I can't tell who's who. Is that your foot, Mr. Guthrie?
No, it's not mine.
Well, it's not mine either.
Well, good. Heavens, whose is it?
Come on, wrestle.
I can't move. Let go of me, Fitz.
You let go of me first.
Well, gracious, somebody let go. How did you get so all tangled up?
Oh, what a wrestling match. Come on, fight.
Well, how can they wrestle, Julius? They don't even know which one is which.
Get me out of this, somebody.
This is ridiculous. Where is my other hand?
That's my hand.
Oh, Julius, come and help. We have to sort them out.
Good night. Oh. What a mess.
Oh, goodness. But there are too many feet for just two men. Maybe we'd better count them. One.
Whose idea was this, anyway?
Wasn't my idea.
Well, it's a lot of foolishness. Help me out of here.
Well, we're trying. Come on, take a hold of that foot, Billy.
Goodness.
We'll push it under this knee.
Well, what will I do with this arm? There's an elbow here that doesn't belong to anybody.
Well, come on.
There now. All the parts came out even.
Oh, my back.
And my knee.
Are you all through wrestling?
Yes,
definitely.
But who won?
Nobody. We'll call it a draw, huh, Guthrie?
A draw?
Oh, you can't do that. Who'll pay the $500 for the playground?
Nobody. Nothing was said about a draw. Nobody wins, nobody pays.
Exactly right, old man.
Well, Billy, I told you something had happened. Now, what are you going to do?
Oh, well, we can buy a few things for the playground, I think.
Where'll you get the money? Not from us.
No, not from you. From the newspapers. Daisy, did you get the pictures?
I took the whole roll. That should be the greatest wrestling match in history.
Oh, splendid. Well, we'll sell them to the newspapers for a few pitiful pennies, I suppose. Goodbye, Mr. Guthrie. Goodbye, Colonel Fitz.
Just a moment. Hold on. I won't have those ridiculous pictures in the paper.
Make us the laughing stock of the town.
Well, the pictures are for sale, gentlemen. Do I hear any offer?
I'll give you $50.
You will not have any pictures of me for $50. I'll give you $100.
Oh, a blackmailer, huh? $500.
$1,000.
You crook, Guthrie!
Now, quiet, both of you. Here's what we'll do. If you'll each contribute $500 to the playground, I'll smash the camera. Now then, nobody will see the pictures. Is it a bargain? I'm putting the camera in for nothing.
Well, it's robbery, but I'll pay.
Me too. Where's that camera?
Here it is. All right, Julius. You can jump on the camera.
A brand new brownie.
Come on, Julius, jump. Jump.
All right.
There we are.
Now we'll go in the house and write the checks. Come along, chump.
I'm coming, sucker.
It serves them right, Billy. If they'd have shelled out their money in the first place, they'd have been all right.
Julius, am I doing a bad thing?
No, indeed. The kids need the playground, and those guys can afford it. Take their money.
But, Julius, I just remembered something.
What?
Please don't tell a simple soul, will you?
What?
I forgot to put the film in the camera. Goodbye, Mr. Miller. Goodbye, everybody. Till next Saturday. And remember, to always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
Produced by Axel Gruenberg. Today's story was written by Paul West. The part of Daisy is played by Lillian Randolph, and Earl Ross is our Julius. Music is under the direction of Carl Bonowitz. Tune in again next Saturday when the makers of Listerine Toothpaste again present The Billy Burke Show. For the best in Saturday listening, don't forget, Let's Pretend, Billy Burke Show, and Armstrong's Theater of Today.
This is Emil Guthrie speaking.
Or if you prefer, Colonel Ritz.
Both of which are really your announcer, Marvin Miller. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Billy Burke Program, from its final year on the air, from June 3, 1946 on CBS, the show had mild success as part of their Saturday morning lineup at 11:30 from April of 1943 through 1946. And if a familiarity with Billy Burke is still lost on you, even after hearing that episode, she was known as Glinda the Good Witch in the Wizard of Oz motion picture. This is Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you an hour of sitcoms. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. And now we turn the clock back to April 22nd of 1949, when My Favorite Husband was on the air with Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. This broadcast called The Time Schedule from CBS and Armed Forces Radio.
It's time for Lucille Ball and My Favorite Husband. It's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers tonight, we find a familiar domestic drama taking place. They're invited to the Atterbury's for dinner. George is standing in the downstairs hall, fully dressed with his top coat on. Liz is upstairs, going through an ancient ritual known to wives as getting ready to go out, and known to husbands as, what do they do up there that takes so long? Well, right now, George is looking at his watch for the 11th time.
Liz, for heaven's sakes, aren't you dressed yet?
I'll be ready in a minute, dear.
Well, hurry up. We're going to be late.
I'll be ready in a minute, dear.
Might as well read the paper. Liz, where's tonight's paper?
I'll be ready in a minute, dear.
I'll have to go up and supervise this job. Liz, you know the Atterburys like us to be prompt. Now, what's keeping you?
I'll be ready in a minute. Oh, hi, George.
Oh, Liz, I thought you said you were all ready.
I am.
Well, you're going to look awfully silly at the dinner party in your slip.
Now, George, I'm hurrying.
Well, what have you been doing? You should have been ready an hour ago.
Well, it's your fault.
My fault?
Yes, I wasted an hour stopping to tell you I'd be ready in a minute.
Well, what are you doing now?
I'm fixing my nails.
Oh, forget it and come on.
Forget it? I don't have any polish on my right hand.
Well, nobody will notice it.
Nobody will notice it?
Of course not. Keep your hand behind your back.
Won't they wonder why I'm shaking hands with my foot?
Believe me, Liz. is, it's more important to get there than to have your nail polish perfect.
Oh, you don't care how I look when you're in a hurry.
I do, too.
How is my hair?
Fine. Beautiful.
It happens to be up in curlers.
Well, it looks good to me. Now, please hurry, Liz.
I'm practically ready, and you're not helping any.
I'll get your dress out for you. Which dress are you going to wear?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, frankly, George, I haven't a thing to wear.
Nothing to wear? You've got a whole closet full of clothes. What about that black one with the sequins?
Oh, I can't wear that. Iris Atterbury has seen me in it.
Well, what about the blue print that I like?
Iris has seen me in that, too.
Well, why don't you wear my long underwear? She hasn't seen you in that.
Well, you're a big help. I guess I'll wear my green taffeta.
Good, I'll get it. Here, Liz.
Just a minute.
What's the matter with you? We're late.
I'm hurrying.
You are not. You're just sitting there. And who are you waving at?
I'm drying my nail polish.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't there anything you can do while it's drying?
Yes. Put a broom in my mouth and I'll sweep the floor.
Just for that, you take a cab. I'll meet you over there.
Oh, honest, George, I'm rushing. Here, this hand is dry. I'll use it.
Oh, Liz, look out! What are you doing with those pliers?
Oh, they're not pliers. I'm curling my eyelashes.
That's the most frightening thing I've ever seen.
Now, leave me alone, George, and I'll hurry.
I don't understand it. Why does it take you 2 hours to get dressed and it only takes me 15 minutes?
That's because you're a man. A man can get by with a minor repair job, but a woman has to completely overhaul her equipment.
Well, let's not stand here arguing, Liz. We're late, and I'm famished.
Oh, so am I. I'm starved. Come on, give me the dress.
Here.
I'll be ready in just... Oh, darn it!
Now what's the matter?
I smeared my nail polish. Now I'll have to do that hand over.
Oh, no!
Now, George, don't stand around making me nervous.
Well, but Liz...
Go downstairs and have a cigarette or something.
Liz, we're invited there for dinner. Now hurry up.
I'll be ready in a minute, dear. George, where are you? George?
I'm upstairs, Liz.
What are you doing?
I'll be ready in a minute, dear.
What? George Cooper, if you made me climb these stairs for some silly... George, why are you sitting there on the bed in your shorts?
Well, I just got to thinking. Mr. Atterbury has seen me in my blue suit.
Now, George, if you're trying to make fun of me...
Well, not only that, he's seen every tie I own. Oh, what can I do?
Oh, stop being so smart and get dressed. Come on, George, we're horribly late.
I'll be ready in a minute, dear.
Now, what are you doing?
I'm fixing my nails.
Oh!
Do you like this color? It's called Bachelor's Carnation.
My good bottle of Revlon... What did you pour it in the water glass for?
Oh, I can't be bothered painting it on. I just dip my fingers in.
All right, I get the joke, George. Now put your suit on.
I'll be ready in a minute, dear. Oh, do me a favor, will you?
What?
Lend me your curler. My eyelashes are as straight as string.
George, we're not so awfully late.
Now, when we go in, we'll apologize for being late. I'll make some excuse.
Well, tell them you had engine trouble.
Well, just let me make the excuses. I can think of something better than that.
Oh, George, look, through the window. They're still in the living room. They haven't started eating.
Thank goodness. I'm starved.
Yeah.
You know, Atterbury had me in his office all lunch hour.
I didn't have time to eat lunch either. I'm dying of hunger. Oh, I hope they have something good. Oh,
Liz girl, George boy.
Hello, Mr. Atterbury.
Good evening, sir.
Come in, come in. We expected you a little earlier.
Well, I'm sorry we're late, Mr. Atterbury. We had engine trouble.
Oh. Really?
Yes, the old wreck just couldn't seem to get going.
I don't like the way you put that.
Well, come on into the living room. Iris is waiting.
Oh, I'm so ashamed to keep you waiting. Hello, Iris.
Liz girl, George boy. Come in and sit down.
Iris, I hope we haven't ruined your dinner.
Oh, not at all.
Of course not. It was delicious.
What? You mean you finished dinner?
Oh, half an hour ago. When we say 7 o'clock, we mean it.
Of course, I could have cook fix something for you, even though she's already done the dishes and it's her night out and she's getting ready to go to the movies.
Well, Iris, I hate to make her do it, but I'm so
Thanks,
darn...
Thanks, Iris, but we've eaten.
But, George...
We've eaten. When we saw how late it was getting, we had a snack while the mechanic was fixing the car.
Oh. Well, it's a shame you didn't get here, Liz. We had your favorite meal.
Really?
Yes, sir. Pork chops.
Pork chops?
Yes, Rudolph said to have baked pork chops for Liz.
Oh, thanks a lot.
And you should have tasted the potatoes.
I can taste them.
Delicious big baked ones, cut open and just full of butter. Big globs of cheese and butter.
Big globs of cheese and butter?
Yes, yes, and fresh, tender asparagus tips with a creamy hollandaise sauce.
Go on, go on. What else did you have?
Well, let me up and I'll tell you.
Come on, come on. What did you have for dessert?
Liz, stop pushing him against the wall.
Liz, are you sure you've eaten?
Yes, we both have. Wipe your mouth, Liz. You're drooling.
Well, maybe you'd like some after-dinner mints.
Where are they? Oh, yes, I think I have room left for just one teeny-weeny little mint.
Here you are.
Thanks. Very tasty. It's very good, Iris. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Would you like some, George?
Yes, please.
I'll go refill the bowl.
Now, don't bother.
Would you care for a cigar, George?
I'll take one. Oh. You can't eat that, can you?
No, no. There's nothing like a good after-dinner cigar.
Unless it's a good before-cigar dinner.
Liz.
What?
Well, what should we do this evening? I thought we could go to a movie.
Oh, good idea.
Which movie would you like to see?
Oh, anywhere where they sell popcorn.
Now, stop it, Liz. Forget about food.
Well, I'll do my best.
Say, here's a picture at the Strand I've been wanting to see for some time.
Well, good. We'll go there. What is it?
Chicken Every Sunday.
Oh, no!
Another banana, George?
No, Hank. I've had three.
Who's in there? Oh, it's you, Mrs. Cooper, and Mr. Cooper.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness, didn't the Atterberries feed you?
No, we got there too late, thanks to Mrs. Cooper.
We practically cleaned out your icebox, Katie.
Oh, but I was just getting ready to do my hair when I heard you. I left the wave set in the bowl on the sink. I better get it out of the way before you eat it. Where is it? The bowl is empty.
Wasn't that custard?
Oh, no, no.
Liz, get that silly smile off your face.
I can't. My lips are set in a wave.
Now, stop that. It won't hurt you.
Look at us, Katie. Which stomach has the Tony?
Come on, silly. Good night, Katie.
Good night.
You know, I'm glad we waited till now, George. I like having midnight snacks with you. Oh, go on, kiss me, George. Give me a good night smack.
No.
You're not still mad at me for being late, are you, George?
Well, wouldn't you be if you were me?
Yes, but you're so much nicer than I am and so much more tolerant and you're so wonderful.
That's enough. I get the idea.
Well, don't be mad.
What are we going to do about your being late all the time?
Aren't you used to it by now?
No. How do you think it looks, Liz, when I'm late to my own boss's house? He'll think I can't manage my affairs.
Well, it's just one of those things, George. Everybody in my family is late. I'm late, my mother's late, my grandmother's late. The only person who was ever on time was my late grandfather.
You have as much time every day as anyone else has. 24 hours.
Whoever settled on 24 hours anyway? I'll bet it was a man. A woman would have known she'd need at least 26.
Well, I'm starting a new system around here. You're going to start budgeting your time.
What do you mean, budgeting my time?
Well, allotting so much time to each thing you do. Budget like you do your money.
Like I budget money?
Correction, like normal people budget money.
You're not serious.
Nevermore. I'll make a chart for you. 15 minutes for this, half an hour for that, 10 minutes for something else.
I'll need more than 10 minutes for something else.
Don't be silly.
George, if I go on this time budget, will you stop being mad at me?
Hmm? Yes, I will. Now I'll make up the chart right now.
No, you don't. I got the next half hour budgeted already.
What for?
Smooching. Ah, come on, George. Let's not waste a minute. Katie, did you see this chart I tacked to the kitchen door?
Yes, I saw it. Oh, Mrs. Hoover, you don't really expect me to stick to that silly time schedule.
I'm afraid so, Katie. George put his foot down.
Well, I don't like to be told when to do what. I've got something down for every minute of the day. It won't work.
Oh, no, I don't know, Katie. It's worked fine for me so far this morning. I got up at 8:10, had 10 minutes to get dressed, and here I am in the kitchen at 8:00, just like it said.
Yes, but you're still in your bathrobe.
Well, it didn't say how I was to dress. Oh, well, let's go along with it for a while. Pretty soon you'll think up something else and forget all about it.
Hey, Liz, is dinner ready?
Katie's putting it on the table. 6:00 sharp. Pretty good, huh?
Say, that time budget idea is working fine, isn't it?
Wonderful. Let's sit down now. Don't waste time.
Hey, what is this? Roast beef, corn, potatoes, and over here, grapefruit, fried eggs, bacon, and toast.
Well, you see, I have so much to do tomorrow morning, I'm saving time by serving breakfast tonight.
Oh.
George.
Yes, dear?
George, I have a confession to make. You were right and I was wrong.
I knew you'd arrive at that conclusion. About what?
Oh, you big ham. Just for that, I won't tell you.
Yeah, was it about the time schedule?
Yes. As much as I hate to admit it. It's been a week now, and we get everything done and still have plenty of leisure. You're so smart.
A man's got to run his home like his office.
You're right. Just like an office.
Come over and sit on my lap, dear.
Is that the way you run your office?
Come here.
Oh, George, let's get married.
We are married.
Oh, we couldn't be. I love you too much. Hold me, George. Tighter. Tighter. Tighter.
Oh, but Liz.
Go on, pretend I'm a bunch of beets and make borscht out of me.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't marry anyone in her right mind.
Oh, thank you.
Now, leave me alone, honey. I'm trying to do some bank work.
But I've got 2 hours free time saved up. Kiss me.
No.
Just one kiss?
All right, just one.
And well, then I'll have to make it last 2 hours.
Come.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Atterbury?
Oh, yes, yes. Come in and sit down, boy. I want to talk to you.
Anything wrong, sir?
No, no. As you know, George, Alexander, the fourth vice president of the bank, is leaving.
I noticed his cup was missing from the water cooler.
Yes, yes. He needs more money. While he felt that the prestige of being vice president of a bank was fine, he wasn't meeting his expenses. So he left to accept a better job. He's going to be a school teacher.
Smart move.
Now, George, I must admit I had you chosen for the advancement to fourth vice president. But the other night when you were so late arriving at my house made me wonder. A man who can't run his own horse.
Oh, I was afraid you'd think that, Mr. Atterbury, so I reorganized my whole house.
You did?
Yes, sir. I laid down the law. Nobody's late at my house anymore. I've got them on a strict timetable.
Remarkable. George, if you've accomplished this, you're the man for the job.
I've done it all right. Why, I've got Liz and Katie running around like a couple of trained seals.
No. Oh, I'd like to see that.
Well, come on over and take a look. Why don't you and Iris come to dinner tonight?
We'll just do that. I'd like Iris to see it, too. If it works for seals, maybe it'll work for an old sea cow. I'll call her right now.
Well, Iris. Hello, Liz. May I come in and visit?
Certainly. Let's see, I have 14 minutes.
Then it's true. You are on a time schedule.
Yes, how did you know?
Rudolph told me about it when he called to say we were having dinner with you tonight.
Oh, Iris, it's just wonderful. You ought to try it. You get everything done and have loads of time for yourself.
You Benedict Arnold.
What do you mean?
You can't do this, Liz. We women have spent years convincing husbands that we don't have enough time to do our work. And now you want to ruin everything. Do you realize where this may end?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Iris. George is doing this for my own good. I've been wasting a lot of time. Well, now I have more time for myself.
Well, that's the way you feel. I must admire you for going through with it in spite of what George is saying about you at the bank.
Oh, George is always saying cute things about me. What's he said this time?
Oh, nothing. He told the boys he has you and Katie running around like a couple of trained seals.
Oh, he didn't mean it like that.
Of course not. Just forget I said it, Liz. There's nothing to it. Absolutely nothing.
Trained seals, huh?
Of course, it's none of my business, but I'd have more self-respect than to let him get away with it.
Trained seals, huh?
Liz, the thing for you to do is stop this before it gets out of hand. Don't you realize that?
Trained seals, huh?
Well, what do you say? Oh, you're giving in.
I am not. Don't you know anything about seals? That was the battle cry.
Oh, good girl. What are you going to do?
Well, here's the first thing I'm going to do. That for his old time chart.
That's the spirit.
Iris, when you and Mr. Atterbury come over tonight, get a good seat down front. You're going to witness the final performance of Professor Cooper's trained seal.
Oh, Mrs. Cooper, are you really going ahead with our plans for tonight?
I certainly am. Now, here comes George with the Atterburys. Get to your post, Katie. The hour is here. Trained seals of the world, unite!
Right in here, Mr. Atterbury.
Hello, Iris.
Hello,
Mr. Atterbury.
Hello,
Liz girl.
Hi, dear.
Say, don't I get a kiss?
No time. Well, let's all go in the living room and talk for 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
You must be on a strict time schedule, boy.
All right, everybody, have a chair. How have you been, Mr. Atterbury?
Well, I've been pretty well, thanks, Liz. I did have a touch of a cold last week, but the doctor suggested that if
That's all the time for you, Mr. Atterbury. How have you been, Iris?
Well,
how have you been, Iris? Sorry, Mr. Atterbury used up all your time.
Liz!
6:59. We have 1 minute to get into the dining room. Everybody run. Come on, Mr. Atterbury.
Never mind pulling me, Liz. I'm coming.
Everybody sit down. Soup's already been served to save time. I hope it isn't too cold.
Liz, let's not overdo this thing.
My, it looks delicious.
Yes, yes, it does. Chicken noodle, my favorite.
Pardon me. Hand me that plate, please.
But I haven't even started my soup.
Pardon me, Mr. Atterbury. Excuse me, Mr. Cooper.
Now, wait a minute, Katie. You just brought it in.
I can't help it. You've used up your soup time.
It smells so good.
Liz, I don't understand what's going on.
George, it's your idea.
Oh, pardon me, but what is this in my water glass?
Let's see. Oh, it's a shirt button. Now, what were you saying, George?
Liz, Mr. Atterbury has a shirt button in his water glass.
Oh, I'll bet I know how it happened. To save time, we're doing the dishes and clothes together in the laundromat.
Would you step into the hall a minute?
No time, George. We've got to start on our salad.
How much time do we have for that?
1 minute and 23 seconds.
Well, if you'll give me a paper sack, I'll take it home and eat it there.
Now, Rudolph, don't blame Liz. This whole thing was George's idea.
So I understand. George, boy, is this what you mean by a time schedule?
No, this is ridiculous. The whole thing is being carried to a...
Uh-oh, salad time's over. Bring in the meat course, Katie.
Coming.
Well, I'm getting faster. I managed to snag half a radish. No time for salt, of course.
Here you are.
Liz, this meat is still frozen solid.
It saves time, George. Swallow it like that and let it thaw out later in the evening.
That does it. I'm sorry, Mr. Atterbury. I guess you've decided about that job by now.
I certainly have. It's yours, boy.
Mine? After tonight?
Well, I can see what's going on. You obviously cracked down too hard on the women folks. They're terrified of you. Afraid of wasting a second. Relax. Let them take it a little easier, Mr. Fourth Vice President.
Why, George.
Well, I guess I have been a little too strict.
I think Liz has something to say about this. Don't you, Liz? Well, are you a woman or a trained SEAL?
My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Favorite Husband with Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. From April 22, 1949, first heard on CBS, the version we heard from Armed Forces Radio. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.